a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Big news over the weekend broke and everyone finally took a breath and felt really bad for a moment.
I hope they did. Yeah. I hope they felt awful.
I know. They
deserve to feel horrible given all the way they were speculating about why Kate hadn't been in public.
I put my hand up. I was one of those people.
Yeah.
I was one of those people. And I think a lot of us were, because there was something clearly wrong.
Mm.
And we didn't allow her the privacy because it was like freaking people out. Like, where is she? And then the photo thing happened. And then she's like, oh, you know me, I do Photoshop sometimes. And it was just one bizarre thing after another that I think they just need to come out and do it.
But now I know I often stick up for the royals.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bit I was doing when I was saying, why don't we just give her time to recover?
I know.
Even if it was not what she spoke about over the weekend and the cancer, serious abdominal surgery needs time to recover for her own well-being. As off air, I said this to you guys, I sort of always suspected that this was potentially the news that was going to come out.
Yeah.
It's awful and horrible, but hopefully with the right treatment she's going to be okay. Mm. It would be so hard explaining it to her kids as it would be for any mum.
Well, she did actually say that in her statement, so we'll have a listen to the video.
It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay.
So for those that are just catching up, she did have that abdominal surgery and originally they thought that her condition was non-cancerous and then they found afterwards that it was present. There was cancer that was present in those tests that they did and they said, look, it's probably good for you to start chemotherapy now, more preventively. And she's currently in the early stages of that at the moment. The other thing though with the video was like, you just feel for her. You're just like, oh my God, she would have been so sick and everything like that too. Do you feel that maybe William should have been there in the video with her? Or do you think maybe it was kind of like, I don't know, like I kind of felt like she just felt so alone there on the bench, you know? I don't know.
Do you know what the crazy thing is? Because of all the speculation, because of everything that's spoken about, all the commentary around it, they would have debated that exact question probably for hours on end and would have been stressful. And it's possibly just her saying, no, I want to deliver this to all these wonderful people that and get the message out myself.
Mm.
So I don't need my husband there for this. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Now, if he was there, he'd probably cop it for being there and not letting her do it. So I think it's just something. And showed a lot of strength because she's such a public person. But for this battle, she probably just wanted to privately go through it. But has not been given that chance because of all this circus that went on around her.
Yeah.
And she delivered that horrible news in a really strong manner and a really calming manner that just said to everyone, I'll get through this. And I love her. I love both of them. I think they're good people who are. I know it's in a completely fanciful world, the royal world, and they're such privilege, but I reckon amongst all that, they seem like good people who are trying to raise their kids in the right way and all that. So I hope she's all right.
Mm. You're just angling for a barbecue invite, aren't you?
Oh, desperate for one.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
Correct.
Or swim the swim.
Or waddle the waddle.
Exactly. And I paddled out at Torquay, Cozy Corner.
You paddled the paddle.
Paddled the paddle because we were all protesting seismic blasting in the Otway Basin. Heartwarming to see so many people there. Like, honestly, it was
so great
unreal.
Turnout.
It was like 1,000 people.
I follow someone who did some drone video photography.
And
it looked really good.
It looked amazing, right? There were heaps of people there that came down with signs and everything. I made a sign as well.
What sign did you go with?
I went, blow holes, not seismic a-holes.
Right? I like it.
Yeah. So a bit of help from Tom there. It was good. No, don't.
That's right. I drew whales on it.
I'm not artsy at all, and it turned out all right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is that what those things were?
You
okay.
You got your Derwent pencils out.
Oh, the Derwents. God, that's a throwback. So I went down there. The thing was, Jimmy was going to come down with me, and he's a surfing guy.
Yeah.
So I was like a bit anxious about it, you know what I mean? But I'm like, Jimmy's going to be there. My friend Hayley was going down as well. I'm like, it's going to be fine. They know what they're doing. Jimmy wrecked his back on Saturday just by trying to get out of the car. And, oh, my back's gone. I can't walk or anything. And I was mate, all right. I'm like, oh, that sucks for you, but mainly for me. So then I went down there by myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, how am I going to, one, get in this wetsuit? Oh, God. And then also get out of the wetsuit. That was my main concern.
Weren't you already in the wetsuit? Why didn't you roll out of bed and get straight into the wetsuit?
Come on. I'm not driving in a wetsuit, am I, for half an hour?
It wouldn't be a pleasant experience, exactly. But neither would getting into a wetsuit in a car park.
Yeah, so I got a prime posse too, right out the front of Cozy Corner, like on the street there, across the road from Doc Hughes. And so changed into the wetsuit or whatever and grabbed the board. And Jimmy's like, what type of board do you want? I'm like, one that I can hold? Like, I don't know. Whatever. Just give me something.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were there and they did a welcome to country and I had chat to all the crowd and we were all jazzed up and like, this is amazing. Anyway, they're like, all right, everyone, let's paddle out. So I'm with my mate and I'm just like, okay, I'm really nervous. Like, obviously, the last time I was on a surfboard, Jimmy normally pushes me out. You know, he's like, okay, jump on, I'll push you out. And he'll like push me out. So everyone starts paddling. We're all paddling. And then I'm like, I'm not going anywhere.
Because what are you going against?
There's
the waves?
There's like 100 people behind me. And I'm just like paddling. Like, and my friend, she's already three boards ahead of me. And because she's just paddling normally. And she turned around. She's like, where's Log gone? I'm gone.
Yeah.
I was paddling so hard, my little heart out. But I wasn't just getting anywhere. And I was like splashing really hard. Then I thought, maybe I've got to start kicking my legs. So I was like kicking my legs. And then I looked around and noticed no one else is kicking their legs on a surfboard. Okay.
Because your legs are up on top of the board and not actually in the water.
I know. Anyway, and then I noticed a few people around me kind of giving me this smile, and I've seen that smile before.
Yeah.
When I rode an invisible horse down when I was a bridesmaid at my friend's wedding, it was really hot. My feet were falling out the shoes, and it looked like I was riding an invisible horse down the runway. Anyway, so people are just like looking at me like, oh, she tries.
Yeah.
Anyway, so finally, paddle got there. I honestly thought I was going backwards. I was stressing out. We got there. I'd never been out that far before.
Yeah.
Right? I was in the back room. And I'd never been out before. And then
the back room?
Well, the green room in the out the back.
Out,
I was out
the
back.
There we go.
Right? We were out the back. And there were all these people around, and then they had a megaphone, and everyone was chanting and everything. And I noticed everyone sitting up on their boards. And I was just like, oh, I don't know if I could sit up.
Yeah, straddle the board. Like,
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that, because if I fall in, I'm not going to be able to touch the floor.
Yeah,
I'm then going to get a panic attack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I was lying on the board with my neck up, like, no seismic blasting, right? And then I ended up falling in anyway.
You did?
And I was like, oh, my God. And I was thinking, how am I going to get back on this board? There's people everywhere looking at me. I'm just like, I can't feel the bottom.
You realise wetsuits float you, though, so you're not going to sink.
Dude, anyway, that's welcome to my brain. So I jumped on the board. It was literally like... It was like seeing a beach whale struggling. Oh. Like, honestly, I was just like, like trying to jump on the board. I finally got on the board. People around me were like, oh, you need a hand? Like, oh, God. Anyway, we do the thing.
Are you sitting at this point or are you lying again?
No, I decided, let's just lie flat. That's my safest option.
Did anyone think you were demonstrating what would happen to the whales if there was seismic blasting?
Exactly. Didn't they go? Anyway, we finally do the thing. It's time to paddle back. Yeah. And I found my friend. I'm like, all right, paddling back is so much easier than paddling up.
Yeah, going with the water instead of against.
Anyway, so paddling, all of a sudden she's off again. And she doesn't mean to, but it's like, I'm just so bad. What am I doing wrong? I'm cupping my hands. I'm not... going anywhere. Anyway, and I see people, this guy, this old mate paddles up to me and he's like, oh, hey, I think like if you scoot up the board a little bit more, like the nose isn't supposed to be out that much, you might get a hand. And I was like, I must be looking so ridiculous right now.
Hilarious.
So I scooted up the board and then I was trying and then he came back up to me. He's like, hey, if you like, hang on to my leg rope.
Hey, yeah, get a tow.
I'll tow you in.
Get a tow.
Did I not? Did I not say there would be towing going on? I thought it would be a jet ski,
It was a man.
I called it.
It was a man and his leg. leg rope. He towed me in. He told me that he previously towed in an 80-year-old woman who had not surfed for 20 years. And then there's me on the way back. How embarrassing.
Amazing. What? I mean, he took one for the team.
He really did. And he's like, do you want to catch a wave in? And I'm like, let me just breathe.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Doing the jump with Brad Johnson for Prestige Jayco Geelong, your local Jayco dealer, open 7 days. Let's get this out of the way.
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
When we talk cats, we also like to hand out a 3-2-1. Well, you do, Jono, for best on ground.
Cats were brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so good.
It was a good win, wasn't it?
It was a massive win. To do what they did, Adelaide Crows under pressure, you know, looking to win at home, and then to go out and play the way they did. And Tommy Stewart's 150th, and his performance was outstandingly.
Don't want to give away your 3-2-1 for your vest and fairest, thanks to Zena Vest, but you mentioned Tom Stewart's name. Just park him for 1 second. Some really impressive performances right across the ground, though, wasn't there? Because even Tom Hawkins, who looked probably fumbly a little bit and scratchy in the round one game against the Saints, just took over and just turned into that monster that he can be.
Oh, he was fantastic. Some of the youngsters keep performing well. Grime Myers was back to his very best. Which was good to see, but just their ability around contest, I think, was back to where we expect. Danger's obviously in good form to start the season as well, but it's and their style looks a little bit quicker, Lingy, which is suiting the Hawk and the forwards as well. So because they like to play some forwards that come up, they're smalls and they get back with some genuine speed, but they're back because the ball's coming through with some intent, and it's working really well for them.
Is Paddy Dangerfield a little hammy? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know.
It might be a 1 or 2 week hammy.
I don't know why I just reached for my hammy. Yeah. Why did I do that?
That's what he was doing at the end of the game on the bench. There was shots of him just fiddling with something there. And, maybe he might miss the Easter Monday clash against the Hawks.
Wow, that's a big one. If that's what you're dropping right now, Cameron.
We'll find out more by the end of the week. I'll know by my Wednesday chat.
As an Adelaidean by birth, I know we're still not over losing the Grand Prix. Are we over the danger thing yet? Did he still get carried during the game?
They did.
That sounds about right. Story checks.
There's so many other people that you could boo, especially at that game.
Yeah. Well, how long's it been now? Is it 8 or 9 years?
Nine years, I think.
Man.
Don't forget.
That's holding a grudge, isn't it?
Big time.
All right, give us the 3-2-1.
All right, here we go. The three, the one goes to Tommy Hawkins for his performance. Yep. The two goes to Grian Myers, who kicked three, had 20-odd disposals, and Tommy Stewart in his 150th.
What was it, 11 intercept marks?
He was brilliant. He's nearly taken mark of the nearly, we can nearly say decade or century. It was huge, his leap. Biggest leap I've seen in some time. And I don't know. I'd love to talk to Tommy about this, about what he was thinking at that highest point, because I think he's thinking, I'm going to crash land here.
Yeah.
This is trouble.
Oh, God. I'm still going up. I'm still rising.
I'm still going.
And then he
missed it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It was Gary Moorcroft-ish, wasn't it? The launch one.
Well, it was. What are you laughing at? It was bigger. I think it was. Was it bigger or was it equivalent? Probably equivalent.
Equivalent.
Look,
equivalent.
I didn't see Gary's, of course, because I was underneath it. I'm facing the ground while Gary's touching the roof at Etihad. it was as big, wasn't it?
Yeah.
His leap was as big. Yes.
Brilliant. What a weekend. What a way to wrap up the jump with Brad Johnson. Always a pleasure, mate. We'll catch you not next Monday. It'd have to be Tuesday next week. A ripper.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au. This is What's Trending.
Oprah was on Jimmy Kimmel. Oprah! I love doing that. You know when it's like, you know when you announce someone like Oprah? And it's like, Cameron Lee! It feels so good. Anyway, she was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And she agreed to answer questions about some of the stranger stories about her and say whether they were true or false.
Okay.
Right? And Jimmy Kimmel asked her if she had ever gifted this guy anything big. She won't be for you, my
part-time lover. The song. Yeah, yeah.
So, just peek behind the curtain.
Billy Joel.
Lee. Just bowed to me. He said, who is it? Steve Stevie Wonder.
Ah.
She confirmed that she once gifted Stevie Wonder an almost $600,000, is it Maybach?
Maybach car. Why?
Why? Yeah.
No idea.
And how's he?
No, Tom. But
pretty car.
Wouldn't
pretty car.
Stevie Wonder have made a fair bit of coin over his time?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's such a strange story.
Yeah. But then, you know, it's like when you give people a gift.
Oh, it's definitely a Maybach, I promise.
It is.
No, it is.
That's how you say it.
That's what she was saying to Steve.
Oh, yeah. she's giving him a Mitsubishi. It's a Maybach. Just touch the first letter of the word. See? Maybach.
M-A. Yeah, and stop there. Definitely not a Mazda. It's a Maybach.
Okay. But you know when you give people, it's like giving a pet as a gift, right? And there's ongoing upkeep. And you've got to, giving someone a car that can't drive a car seems...
It's just a weird story. Many questions.
I want to know what... I'd love to know what else is true and false about
Oprah. Well, look, you can go and watch Jimmy Kimmel live.
Nice.
It's like if you guys gave me roller skates. I can't roller skate, so.
But you could.
You would love them.
Yeah.
He wants a roller skate.
Yeah. All right. Next birthday. Noted.
Channel my inner Barbie. We got there, guys. That's what's trending. Stay up to date with everything trending at krock.com.au.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I gave you an idea and you're a bit worried.
Well, yeah, got a situation. So I got lots and lots of presents because we had lots and lots of kids at my five-year-old's birthday party weekend before last. Still sort of on the fence as to how we distribute the presents to the child.
Mm.
Do we hold off right until... and drag it out across the year, like, hey, remember your birthday? Here's some more stuff that you can play with. Or as you suggested, do we put them in the wardrobe up the top and wait for the 25th of December, at which point we give the presents to her as if we've bought them ourselves?
Exactly.
Great idea. Brilliant idea. Love it.
You know what? Santa's going to get them presents anyway, and also mum and dad could save a bit of coin by spending their friends' money.
You are so unsure about this, Tommy.
Oh, it doesn't taste good. It tastes awful, to be honest. I can't. I hate the idea.
I want to set your mind at ease because I reckon we're going to have a little bit of support for this idea of Loggy. Steph from Batesford's on the line. Steph, is this okay? Can we just hold a few of those presents back for Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a wonderful idea. Yeah. Not only will it save you money, but she'll forget about the presents that she obviously hasn't got yet.
Yeah.
And it'll just be brand new to her.
How do I then face the parents who I'm posing as, essentially, who've spent money on my child?
Well, they've already been sent a thank you, so they don't really need to know.
Okay, exactly.
We loved it so much that we got her another one.
Unless they bring up the subject, there's probably no need for that conversation.
Knowing my luck, they will. They'll be picking up their kid and they'll see Indy be like, oh, did you like the little thing that I got? Yeah, yes. You're having fun with that? And Indy will be like, what?
Oh, there is that.
Yep. You got to risk that, though. I reckon it's worth the risk.
All right. Kim's in Bell Post Hill. Morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Where do you lay on this?
Look, I think it's a great idea to save it for Christmas or even throughout the year, even over the school holidays, because the cost of living at the moment is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
But it's also a risk that you've got to take of, will she be into that stuff later?
She'll get what she's given.
Get what you get and don't get it.
Yes, we had that conversation this weekend just gone. Okay, yeah, there is a fair point because they move so quickly with what they're into.
What about Tali and Drysdale? Can Tom keep all the gifts, well, most of them, from his daughter's birthday, hide them and then give them back to her for Christmas?
I reckon she's had a big enough birthday party and you can save your money and divvy out all the presents to the rest of the birthday parties for the year.
Oh, so re-gift them back to the... Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's
God.
That's got a bit more danger factor, though. It's got a bit danger factor.
Just triple check the card, yeah. Who gave what. You don't want to accidentally re-gift to the person.
Re-gift straight back to the... Oh, okay, gosh, there's...
But then you just do that. They loved it so much that...
Yeah,
we wanted to get you one of those. I told you there'd be a lot of support for this. Kiara from Geelong is on the line as well. Kiara, bring us home. Are you on board with this?
Look, I think you should put some away, but maybe put some of your old toys away and then rotate them.
Yeah. Well, we do the rotating toys anyway because otherwise they just don't get played with. So, okay. The moral ambiguity of this whole thing is actually making me weak at the knees. I can't bring myself to...
Lucky for you, you have no morals, Tom.
Hey, no, this is a perfect example of the slight niche situation.
Right now, Loggy and I combined, we're like two little devils on your shoulders saying, hey, just do this. There's no angels on the shoulder,
I know, right?
So just do it.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.